Blog Talk Radio.
Biological and physiological functioning,
including the foods that we take into our bodies, the way that our foods are prepared, the lack of nutrients, and just an onslaught of many different things, the way our foods are processed. And if you have a sensitive system, it can be very reactive to what goes on internally. But then we look at what's going on an emotional level and what's happening in our environment, in our communities, in our homes, the losses, the sickness, the death, the violence. There's just so much going on. That in itself can trigger your body's reacting. It affects our heart rate. It affects our blood pressure. It affects all the other measurements of wellness that take place in our body. And it's important that we are more attentive to what's really going on. And, of course, our thinking and what we see, what we hear, what we experience, and what we feel all affects our thoughts, and our thoughts affect what we feel as well as our bodies. So to say that it's just as simple as changing your thoughts, it's a lot more than that. I believe we all experience a sense of sadness at times because there are things that happen. And usually depression or sadness is triggered by a sense of loss. And loss can take place in many forms. Usually we think of death. But when we think about the stresses that we endure every day, basically stress is really the pressure to get something done. How many of us don't have the pressure to get something done every single day, even if it's just getting out the bed? Oh, you got to get out the bed, you know, by a certain time and be ready. And interestingly enough, this morning, I, for some reason, awakened at 3 o'clock, and by the time the animals went out to go potty and come back, I started thinking all these different things I wanted to do today, but I didn't want to forget. So I got up and got on the computer, got some work done. So about 5 o'clock, I laid back down and said, oh, I've got about an hour and a half that I can sleep now, and I'll get back up about 6:30. Well, that hour and a half turned into 3 hours, and I woke up, and it was close to 8 o'clock. And I have a music alarm, and I guess through that alarm, I slept straight through it and had a concert in my subconscious because it was finished by the time I awakened. So needless to say, when I hit the floor, there was a certain degree of stress for me to get things going for the course of the day. However, my being aware of that and being aware of the impact that stress takes on my body, as soon as I got the most immediate thing taken care of, I slowed myself down, took a few deep breaths. The way our society is and with all of the men, unfortunately, many of us don't have the opportunity or don't take the opportunity to really sit down and minimize the stressors in our life and to think through what has to be done now, what needs to be done now, and what do I want to do now? Very seldom do we have that opportunity, but we have to create that. So I'm really saying that stress and depression and many of the other emotions that we experience are many times some things that we really can have some impact on, maybe not total control, but some impact, but we have to be willing to do the work. As I was saying about sadness and depression being triggered by loss, they have the death factor, and people are dying every day, and especially in our young population, and it's really sort of unnerving because we expect for our elders to pass away, even though we're never prepared, but when young people are just dropping, as they say, like flies, when there are violent issues, there are health issues, people are having heart conditions, people are having aneurysms, people are having even just breathing problems, asthma attacks and pneumonia, things that are just checking them out. Those things bring about a shock to our system. And not only is it a matter of loss, we have loss of relationships, loss of our living situations, loss of routines, loss of finances, and sometimes just the changes we experience, even if it's a change for something more positive, a change for something better, we're still losing that which is familiar to us. So that is a form of loss. And I think we probably beat ourselves up and say, you know, well, why am I feeling this way? It's really for the good, and someone can try to tell us it's for the good. But in the moment, that does not take away that we have. And when I talk about, you know, the heart formula for dealing with the stress and dealing with the triggers, we'll learn about how to balance that out, the self-talk in addition to honoring those feelings but not allowing them to take over. Another trigger for depression is the season change. And some of you may have heard of the acronym SAD, which stands for Seasonal Affective Disorder. And it's basically when someone experiences depression regularly during just a set period of time during the year, and that time is usually during the fall and winter months. And some people say, you know, it's because it's bleak, it's because it's cold. And even though I personally can't stand to be cold, what it really boils down to is the lack of sunlight. Some of our bodies need more sunlight to produce both melatonin and serotonin. And those are the enzymes that keep the brain chemistry at a certain point where depression does not fit in. And there's a whole line of physiological functions that take place in terms of the uptaking of the serotonin and the increasing, and just producing the serotonin. And that tends to decrease during the winter months. And so when we begin to get the spring season, as some of us are experiencing this week, it creates a boost in our mood and energy levels. And I also believe it also increases some of the thinking of the activities that we also enjoy, our outdoor activities. So that's also a part of our thinking process. So we're talking about the body, we're talking about the mind, and we also need to talk about the soul and spirit. I believe that when in the Christian community, when people talk about depression, sometimes people say, oh, well, you just need to be closer to God, or you need to read your word more, or you need to pray more. I have no problem with all of that, but that in itself does not change your body chemistry any more than it changes blood pressure, blood sugar, any other function of the body without some additional support and are be giving it attention. And not to say also that I don't believe, you know, it's not that I don't believe in the power of prayer and the power of miracles. However, I believe that some things just are as they are, just like I believe in fasting and praying, but I believe that we also need nutrition in our system. So it's about balance. It's about having balance in our lives and really pay attention to what's going on. The symptoms of depression pretty much are just having no energy, just being kind of tired and unmotivated. A person can be sad and tearful, but it's not always someone is crying and sad. They just don't have that oomph, as we say, the fatigue. Usually there's some disturbance in our sleep and appetite. There's a sense of being detached from the rest of the world and even from the activities that we generally enjoy. And, of course, when we do that and people don't get it and they're trying to get us to do things that we really don't want to do, that adds to that. One of the things that I experienced last year when I talked about serotonin levels is that even the presence of physical pain, I had been experiencing severe lower back pain, which also developed into sciatica, and in towards the end of November, I slipped in the rain on the streets of San Francisco. Didn't quite hit the ground. Well, I said didn't quite. I did not hit the ground, but trying to catch myself, I pulled something in my back, and that pain lasted for approximately 4 months. I was in so much pain, I was in tears. And between going back and forth, trying to get treatment and medication, and all of that, I realized down the line that all of the serotonin was going towards trying to decrease my pain, which let little my brain to be at the level it needed to be to maintain, you know, a level of emotional well-being. And by the fact that I had experienced bouts of depression before, this just took it to a whole nother level. And then, add to that, I began to wonder, oh, gosh, I'm getting older. What if this doesn't get better? Some of you may know that I also provide care for my emotionally, developmentally disabled sister. And I'm responsible for clothing her, getting her in and out of the shower, and it become difficult to do that. So then what started to happen was all of these negative thoughts went through my mind. Well, what if you get to the place where you're disabled and unable to take care of her? What if they decide to take her away from you or you have to go let her live someplace else? One day I literally talked myself in my head through all of this to tears. So that's an example of where there were a few things going on and how once that cycle starts, it can spiral downward. And I really have to put some things in check. One of the other things that has happened is that you don't get things finished. You tend to be easily annoyed. A lot of times people think people are mean, and especially in children and adolescents. However, a child, and especially an adolescent, may not express their depression in the same way as maybe a younger child or an adult might be. So a lot of times you see that irritability. A lot of that is their defensiveness to cover the feelings of sadness and hurt, and sometimes about things that they may or may not be aware of, and sometimes about things that they're trying to suppress, to keep from talking about, those things that bring them a sense of shame and embarrassment and a sense of unworthiness. So there's so many things that we see. So the first thing is really being able to do something about it for both those who are experiencing it and those who are living with someone or dealing with someone, is to look at the symptoms. Is this a change from the normal behavior that you usually see in a person? And if it's a shift, it's important to start noting, when did this happen? What are some of the incidents or events that may have taken place prior to or during the course of your noticing this change in someone? So that's very, very important. And again, knowing what some of the triggers are, the negative thinking or the images. I'm aware that sometimes during the course of the day, I can be doing something, and all of a sudden, my spirit would feel a little heavy, and it's like, what happened? I was feeling fine a little while ago. And this is why it's so important to be very careful about what you allow to come into your space, into your ears, into your heart, into your eyes. Sometimes it's reading. You can flash, you know, and I love to scroll through Facebook, do something, and just catch a glimpse of an article that has something. It can leave you with a feeling of sort of, yeah, that lowness, and not even aware that it has taken root inside of you. The things that we listen to on the radio, the images that we see on television can all impact us, even on a subconscious level, and start to bring our emotions down to a low. And there's so much going on. I keep saying there's so much going on that's pulling for our attention that subconsciously we're taking in things that we're not even aware of. Why do you think advertisement is so profitable? Because they really go for the subconscious thinking level. And we have to be the ones who are on top of that for our own conscious and subconscious level of intake, what we're going to do about it. So in looking at my heart formula for dealing with depression, the first one formula is for those who might be experiencing depression yourself. And the H is for to hold on to a vision of that which makes you smile. And not only that which makes you smile, but if you know that you have a vision and a plan for your life, generally that's something that you have a passion for. So if you can hold on to that vision, keep doing the things that you have, even if it's not at the same pace, at the same level, but keep it forever present before your eyes and your face and your ears so that you don't lose hold, because it can be very easy to slip and not come back, to not come back to that place. And I believe that's the fear question, for one, feeling that it's a weakness, and the fear of no return. I remember when I first experienced a bout of depression aware, and it was probably in my late 20s, and I remember just feeling really low and deciding I wanted to lay down, but I was scared and afraid to lay down because I was afraid that I would probably start crying and not be able to stop. Can you imagine that? Thinking that I would go so low. And I believe our society tends to treat us like that, that if you go low, stop crying, you're going to make yourself sick. That's a natural part of our expressing sadness, expressing grief. So to be able to allow that process, but still keep in mind what you're here for, bottom line is your purpose, but that vision. And anyone who knows me knows it's about the young people and the children. And fortunately, in being in the line of work where it's about taking care of people's hearts and helping others to maintain a level of wellness in their thinking and their heart, mind, souls, and spirit, I'll deal a lot with young people. And that brings me my joy. And sometimes it has been just enough for me to know that I need to go and move forward to be able to help someone else, or if I've made a commitment to someone to keep through with that, that brings me out, even if momentarily, during an extended period of time, even if momentarily, it brings me out, it feels good. I can just look on some of the notes or the letters or some of the achievements of some of the young people I've worked with. Those are the things which make me smile. Love looking at cartoons, love looking at animals. I have plenty enough of them, and that's enough to make me smile on an ongoing basis. So those are the things. What are the images? And I would really encourage you, create a vision board. And the vision board, it's not only to keep in mind of where you want to go, it's in keeping in mind of who you are. Sometimes depression can blind us to who we are, what we're all about, because we start focusing on all the negative issues of ourselves. No. Go back to who you are. Be a reminder. So let your vision board remind you of who you are and where you are going. That is so important. And also, whose you are. The E stands for to explore what the triggers are that have really sort of moved you into feeling in the way that you're feeling. And I always go back to elementary school when we learned how to write, do essays. I wanted to look at the who, what, when, where, and why. Look at the who are the people that have been in your space that have sucked away some of your energy. What are the circumstances? What has been said? When does it tend to happen? Where are you placed sometimes when these things are happening? And why does it mean as much to you? Once you've explored those, or in the process of exploring those, I strongly encourage you to express those new insights, express those emotions. And journaling is one of my major forms of homework for my clients, and being able to write down what you're thinking or feeling. And the other part of that is talking, and that's what therapy is all about. Someone talking to one another and just allowing someone to get all of the feelings out. And as well as writing, I encourage people to read back what you've written. There is power even in hearing your own voice, hearing the words come out. There's like a connection between what seems so detached from you, whether it is your thinking or feeling, to what connects within your heart. It's a very, very, very powerful exercise to do. And a lot of people said, well, I don't want to look at the negativity. Well, then we don't want to look at ourselves, because that goes with the territory. The good, the bad, the indifferent. And really, when you And I encourage, actually I have one of my young clients now, he really doesn't like to write. I said, you know what, I'm going to make this easy for you. So I gave him the assignment to make an audio file. Get your mic, speak into whatever tool that you have, create an MP3 file, send it to me. Get it out. There's always more than one way to get something done. And we have to really be aware of what people's strengths and what their likes and dislikes are, because if you're trying to get someone who's already feeling unmotivated to do something that they really don't like to do when they are motivated, it's like, I don't know, pulling teeth, for lack of a better analogy. And the other E is to exercise, really, and we all hear that. We have to exercise. And it doesn't necessarily mean going to the gym. It means getting out, maybe just walking around the block a time or two, or just getting up and stretching, getting things moving inside of our body, because things have to shift because we become stagnant. And I really believe that a lot of what we experience is thinking stagnant and our doing, stagnant in our perceptions. We have to be willing to move things about and change. So getting some exercise and also taking supplements, vitamin supplements that may or may not help. may not make a greater difference in how you're feeling. So we've talked about holding on to a vision, exploring the triggers, expressing our thoughts, feelings, and exercising. And the A stands to acknowledge in your mind, what am I thinking? What is going through my mind that's causing me to feel drug down? What is the message that I'm getting? Sometimes we may not be aware that the way that we're treated by some people gives us negative thoughts about ourselves, but we never really acknowledge the thinking. And often I tell people, I say, you know, so what does that say to you? If someone did something, what is the message that goes on in your mind? Acknowledge. And then affirm yourself. Create an affirmation of whatever it is that's negative. If the negative says, you know, well, you really don't have anything going on. You're really not that bright. You're not that smart. And you don't have enough money to do what you need to do. Yeah, that would cause you to feel pretty down. So what you do is you change that affirmation and say that I have everything I need to achieve my dreams. I have everything I need to achieve my purpose. I have everything I need to fulfill God's purpose in my life. And then if you want to add a scripture to that, says God said he supplied all of my needs according to his riches and glory. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, a love, and a sound mind, because fear is a strong factor also of what causes us to go into depression as well, the fear of what might happen. Like I stated before, the fear of my becoming disabled and being unable to take care of my sister. It was a real thought, but it wasn't a help to be something that would be real. So we changed that real quick. I am healthy. I am in good form, in good shape. I have energy, and I will do all things well as my body was created to do. The other A is to activate a plan. During the times when you have difficulty getting things done, write it down. This is what I plan to do tomorrow. Don't try to change the world all in one day. Just write down maybe two, maybe three things in the course of a day. This is what I plan to do tomorrow. Do it. If you get that done, sometimes that'll be enough to, you know, boost your energy up to get things going and to launch your energy. Say, oh, I'm good. I could do a little bit more. If not, at least you got something done. But have a plan. Follow it to do the one thing at a time. An accountability agreement. Have someone that you know and trust who understands you, or if they don't understand it, is willing to try to work with you, that you will connect with on a day-to-day basis. And that is something very, very important that I try to do with friends and clients, and it's something I know that is very important to me. One of the friends that I connected with during the time I was going through about a depression last year, made an agreement that after I got my first shift done in the morning, that between 9 and 10 o'clock, we would connect and just touch. Sometimes just hearing another voice, hearing what someone is thinking or feeling, just maybe talking about, you know, something that's not very serious can boost that energy level that you have for connecting with another human being. And I believe that in this day of technology, it is so easy to not be connected with people. You know, we can sit back behind text and Facebook and emails and never connect with another living soul. We don't have to even hear voices, and that's becoming a pet peeve with me. I kind of get it from my young people to send a text, but when us as grown folks and we start texting each other, and even it's not enough that we can't see one another, but when we start sending texts, you know, it's nice if you're busy, but to hold the conversation and let that take the place of that genuine touching one another, it's very, very important that we go back, as the old gospel says, song says, go back to the old-time way. And we're aware that there are many demands on our time and energy, but we can never let those demands take the place of our being connected with people who we love and care about, and giving people to know that they are loved and cared about. You know, it can take 2 minutes. Probably just as long, well, just as long as it would take for me to do a text. Get my thumbs all jumbled up. But just to say, I'm thinking about you. Have a great day. You never know how many times some of us will play a voice message over and over again just to hear, even just to hear the little nuances in the voice of someone that you love and care about. That is energy. And I'm not going to go too deep, however, but we know that sound is energy, just like electricity and everything that, you know, emanates from our body. That is what connectedness is about. So if you say, reach out and touch someone who was at AT&T, they weren't lying, you know, talking through the wires. I was still touching someone. And actually, I'll talk a little bit more about real touch as we move down to the P section. So having that accountability agreement is important. And in order to do that, it may be important to reach out, okay? Reach out for the rebound. Basically, when the basketball players are playing and they miss a shot and they reach out for the ball, they're never going to have a rebound if they don't reach out to snatch that ball. So we've got to reach out. We have to be really seriously serious. That point where I found my emotions reaching, as they say, an all-time low, I realized, oh, my goodness, I need to do something because I can recognize it in clients. And at one point, there was a sense of embarrassment for me to even acknowledge being depressed because, you know, I'm the therapist. And oftentimes, even in journaling, I would say, you know, physician, heal thyself. And I realized, well, if I'm telling other people to do things, why wouldn't it not be good enough for me? And I've never had a problem going to therapy, but when it came time to the doctor wanting to prescribe medication, I was very resistant. And talk about that a little bit later as well. However, you realize that we are human. Doctors get cancer. Doctors get high blood pressure. Doctors get diabetes. They get anything that the body is capable of experiencing, which says that if we believe that our body, that things happen, if we believe that our bodies are a part of what's happened to us on an emotional and mental level, that there are things that take place that we don't have any control of, but that we can impact. So reaching out and asking for help, and for me, it wasn't going to therapy. It was about going to someone and says, you know what, I'm really feeling low. I just need to connect with you. You know, just can we just talk every morning? Check in with me at the end of the day, or let's check in with one another at the end of the day just to make sure we're okay, to see how the day went, to see what I did, see what you did, to see what, if I accomplished that which I set out to do. That is powerful. Don't neglect that connecting with someone that you know who really cares about you. The other R is to remember your purpose, and that's the soul component. I believe that as spiritual beings with a soul, we came here with a purpose that was ordained by our Creator. And I believe that sometimes the further away we get from that, the more disgruntled we become. I also believe that sometimes the closer we get to that, the more warfare we experience, because there is a such thing as there being opposition. And I think sometimes that wears us down. But if, when we remember our purpose, just like talking about remembering the vision and holding on to the vision, there's a little fire, you know, that ignites within, and we have to keep that before us at all times and share that with other people. I don't know if you've had the experience of talking to someone asking you a question about something that's important to you, or someone that's important to you, or a relationship, a project that's important to you, and before you know it, you've talked for 20 minutes straight without the other person getting in a word, and it's like, okay. Like I tell people, you can tell that's my passion, and all of a sudden you're feeling better yourself. So that's really, you know, encouraging your own soul, as Donald Lawrence says. Sometimes we have to encourage ourselves, as the Bible talks about David doing. Speaking of David, and my next remembering is about music, dance, and laughter. And when we talk about the Bible, we talk about David playing music to soothe the soul. I believe it was Solomon, and about David dancing and laughter. But also realize, for those who say, you know, that depression means you're not saved or you're not godly, et cetera, think about the depression that David went through. And there were times he didn't even understand why he was feeling the way he did. You know, one of my, you know, scriptures that I love, he says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" He wanted to know, why am I feeling like this? So if David was going through that, and the Bible does that he was a man after God's own heart, imagine that we're still human. Not a whole lot has changed as far as the human soul and the human spirit since those days. So there are times that we have to lift ourselves up, put on some music, find something that's humorous to laugh at. And people know that, you know, as I said, my drug of choice, my music of choice is, of course, Mr. Stevie Wonder. Love him with a passion. And I know that when I listen to Stevie and I'm not feeling something, somebody better call the paramedics. But I love music. I love all types of music. And one of my favorite gospel encouragers is Mr. Daryl Coley. Can put him on and go for days and days and days until I start to feel it. And that's a part of nurturing ourselves. That's a part of lifting our souls, of lifting our spirits, lifting our minds, because it's not even just the music and the rhythm, which is also very powerful, but it's about what are the words saying to us? Listen to what you're saying. And as you repeat that, sometimes you might need to just write lyrics down and carry them around with us, put them up on a mirror, put them in our cars on the dashboard to look at, to be reminders. That's why we learn quotes. That's why we memorize scriptures, to keep those words that resonate within us, within our minds, our souls, and our spirits. And the T in the heart formula, or the T's, I should say, is one, trust. And that means trust in your faith. That's the spiritual aspect. Trust that everything that you're going through works together for the good, regardless of how it feels. And through that, it's our do-do, our whatever you subscribe to in your belief, whatever you read in terms of scripture or whatever it is that you study, if you believe that, read that. Your prayer and your communication with your Creator, with God, with, as some people say, your higher being, I say connect with that and trust that all of this is going on. It's not to kill you, not to destroy you, but to help you to fulfill that purpose. Spending time in nature, being near the water, does it for me. Sitting by the water, listening to music, in the sun. Ooh, that's why I love the summer jazz festivals. love going to the river, going to the beach, going to the lake. That's therapy for me. Being around children, hearing children's laughter, and watching the animals, that's time in nature. Children are probably about the closest to nature in the human species as we will ever come. And it's a feeling for me. For some people, it's a different experience. But find what is it that you spend time doing. The other is touch. We talked about connecting with people, but even just physical touch. Because some people have been through such traumatic experiences of being abused physically, sexually, and just not feeling comfortable, or maybe not being touched with affection, period. They're touch deprived. And we are sensory beings. Our skin is responsive to touch. So one is just being able to allow someone that we trust just to hug us and hold us. Going out, get a massage to really sort of manipulate and soothe some of those knots and tight muscles in our bodies. Just to be able to, again, release tension and the energy in our bodies. And the last P is, if it comes to that, taking medication. There's a lot of controversy about medication, and I'm not one that believes that you drop a pill for everything. However, I believe that pills are made for a reason, besides now all the pharmaceutical profit off of it. But as the things that we've learned through science, if some things are there with a purpose, and if anything, it can be abused. But I believe if there's something that is a fine line between your feeling like you're going to make it and not, take the medication. And I'm not even putting that out there as a topic for disagreement or even for someone to concur with me. I'm saying do what you need to do. And when I've been on medication twice, and the last time I knew I needed it. When the first time when the doctor told me about taking it, I was just like, no, I'll get through this. I'll get through this. And what he brought to my attention was that sometimes depression is genetic. And what I found was that my mother herself had been experiencing depression undiagnosed. And we discussed and talked about perhaps where there could be some association there. Surprisingly, my mother consented for the therapist to talk to her doctor and prescribe her medication, and she said she really felt the difference. So part of that was also part of the family healing. So I did the medication thinking, okay, I'm just going to help her. Helping her might help me, just period, just because she's doing better. And I didn't initially notice any change in myself, but the therapist said he did. And a few other people made comments, but I know I was able to get through one of the darkest periods of my life, which I wrote about. And I look back on it, and it's like, gosh, how did I get through that? And I know, for the most part, it was God, but God also provides resources. And I believe that everyone and everything that he provided during that time was a resource for my recovery. And I believe the last time in dealing with the pain, again, something needed to happen. And only you know you. And I would say don't become dependent on anything, but be aware of what's going on. And that comes by taking time to be quiet, be alone. And people say they don't have time, but if you don't have time, your body will make time for you because that will be all that you can do. Because stress will wear you down. So do what you need to do and try to do as many of the natural things that you can do. Because pills just many times come in to take the place of the things that we should be doing all along anyway. So make sure that if you take that route, that you're doing everything else that you can do as well. So going back to the heart formula, if you're just experiencing depression, hold on to a vision of that which makes you smile. Explore the triggers, express them through writing or talking, and exercise your body. The A is to acknowledge the thoughts going through your mind. Make positive affirmations to counteract those negative thoughts. Activate a daily plan. And develop an agreement with an accountability partner. The R stands for reaching out for the rebound, remembering your sole purpose, and reaching out to do things that you enjoy, music, dance, and laughter. And the T stands for trust the spirit that you, of the faith that you subscribe to. Take time in nature with whichever aspect of nature that you enjoy, including animals or children. Talk about it. Attend therapy. Plan for tomorrow. That part I skipped. Touch, get healthy touch, and take medication. If you're someone who cares about someone who's depressed, by making sure that all those other things are taking place that you hopefully have taken notes for those that you love, but for yourself, remember to have time to reach out to the person. Using humor, not making fun of them, but sharing the humor that you know that they find funny, not telling stupid jokes, but just maybe even thinking about some experiences that you had that were funny, because sometimes you can bring up something and it'll bring up that humor that you shared. Shared humor is even best. But bringing up something that is humorous, and be willing to help. Exercise. Ask someone to take a walk with you, or maybe just run a few errands with you to get them outdoors, and especially, you know, where there's some light. Ask what they'd like for you to do. And listen. Don't tell them, well, what you need to do is this. And, well, no, I'm not going to do that because da-da-da. Ask. And if they say, leave them alone, just say, okay, I will, but may I have this much time with you? Ask. Because I think what happens when we take away powerfulness or their power and they're already feeling powerless about feeling the way they do, it's important to allow them some of their power. But, you know, work with them. But ask what it is that they would like. Ask them what they think might change the situation. They might say, I don't know. But just listen, because a lot of times we really don't have someone who just listens to us. By the time we get 2 words out, someone is already giving us a solution. They're already telling us about their experience, or they're telling us about what somebody went through. But I said, I don't really want to hear all that. Just listen. And that's something that we can all do on an ongoing basis. It's just really willing to listen. And if someone say, oh, you know, it's too much to tell, you can say, well, I got about half an hour. You know, I'm all ears. Let me hear. The other thing is remember to reach out, but to reminisce about brighter days. I remember one of my favorite Diane Reeves songs said, Brighter Days. And just remember, what are some of the good times that you've had? And talk about those things and bring up as reminders of the things that the person has going for them and what we have to look forward to. And again, take time to give healthy touch. Give someone a hug. Just give someone a hug, not one of those grab them, pull them up, and push them away, but just give a hug. And if it's someone that you don't know very well or that you may not have had that type of relationship with, when I say that type, I mean one where you've been very close to someone, just say, you know, my thing is, can I give you a hug? Or maybe saying, you look like you could use a hug. And you'd be surprised how relieved someone could be just to have someone to hold them. As long as they just want to be there, just to hold, to lay their head on your shoulder and on your chest. Because that little child inside of us never goes away. And because we are living in such a stressful society, people are so busy, it's really hard for people to really have physical touch without it being related to sexual intimacy. So there you have it. Humor, exercise, asking and listening, remembering to reach out and reminisce, and taking time and touching. So I hope that this has been helpful to you to begin the spring season, to spring forward, and to get away from the negativity and to the madness and the senselessness and the sadness, because it's time to get glad. So we're marching into March Gladness, and we're moving forward to heartburst of healthy living and excitement. And I hope that you have taken something of value from my sharing with you from my heart to yours. And I wish everyone a happy spring. I hope that the spring cleaning has begun, not only in your physical environment, but in your mindset, in your thinking, and in what you're taking in on a day-to-day basis. And with that, I am going to end. So before I do, I want to share with you, if you happen to be in the Solano County area here in Northern California, I'd like to invite you to an event where I will be presenting as the final speaker in a series called Authors Talk and Write. I think I got that wrong. I'm trying to find it on the computer. But give me just a moment, and I will tell you exactly what it is. Heartwork. Heartwork in the Village. That's it. And this is the end of a, I believe, a six-week series sponsored by the McCree Goodell Art Gallery here in the city of Vallejo. And they are located at 930 Marin Street in Vallejo. And this is a series which began in February in celebration of Black History Month, and it's followed over into March for International Women's Month. And it's entitled Book Signing and Author Talk. That was close. Book Signing and Author Talk. And there have been some wonderful women who have shared their literary work, their musical gifts, and signed and shared their books with the listeners. And this is just a wonderful setting. And I've called my presentation a village gathering, because that's definitely what it has been. We have the elders, we have the young people, we have us middle-aged folks, or us junior, senior citizens. And it's just been a wonderful time of sharing and laughter and eating and music and just loving, and it's been a very good connection. So I will be speaking on Sunday, March 30th, 3 to 6 p.m. I will be sharing four of my books, the first being my memoir, It's Hard Work, Being the Village That Raises a Child, as well as the workbook, How's Your Heart Working in the Village? Another memoir, Entertaining Angels Aware, I Am My Sister's Keeper, and the anthology, Meeting Les Brown, Ms. Mamie Brown's Baby Boy. So I will be reading from those, as well as sharing some of the background sentiments which spurred those thinking and some of the things that have happened as a result of my having written each of those books. So I am very excited about that. So again, join us on Sunday, March 30th, 3 to 6 p.m. at 930 Marin Street in Vallejo, California. My phone number is 707-553-1971, and you can email me at me@talktomse.com. That's me@talktomse.com. And I look forward to hearing from you, look forward to seeing you. You can find us on Facebook if you're looking for the event on Facebook. It's entitled Heartwork in the Village Gathering, and you can go there and please share it on your Facebook pages and with other of your friends and those in the village. We look forward to seeing you and speaking with you next month. Speaking of writing, there are just some very, very, very exciting projects that I have been honored to be a part of, and both are being released the first week in April. So April 1st, which is not an April Fool's joke, my guest will be Ms. Berthel Blaisemore, Berthel Bayless Blaisemore. And she is the compiling author of The Daughters in Spirit of Harriet, which is a tribute to the legacy of Harriet Tubman. And I am very excited to be a contributing author to that project. And 100% of the proceeds of that will be going to Children's Hospital of Oakland, California. I have some experience with Children's Hospital, which I'll be honored to share with you on Tuesday, April 1st. And then on Tuesday, April 15th, we're going to have Miss Nicole Eastman, or Dr. Nicole Eastman, who's the compiling author of I Am, and I need to get the whole title again. But it started off as I Am because every chapter in the book begins with I Am. Put your letters to children or young people growing up facing challenges. So it's a book of mentoring letters, and it's entitled I Am Love, Wisdom, and Guidance Through Soul Reflection. You can also find that on Facebook, and you can look for my posting it there. So that's going to be on Tuesday, April 18th. So we will have those leading authors as well as some other contributing authors and myself, which I am very proud and pleased. And anyone who knows me know that those are both topics which are very close to my heart and which I'm very passionate about. So please give us your feedback. Give me your feedback. Let me know what you've gotten out of this presentation. If there's anything in particular that you would like to see us address here on Heart Talk with Miss E, and if you are interested in being a guest at some point as we talk about issues related to the heart, especially those of our youth, and even more specifically those of our youth in the foster care and adoption system. So thank you for listening. Take care. Have a blessed day, week, and remainder of the month, and God bless. Bye-bye.
Heavenly Mother, crying, these children are dying at the hands of the other child. I know her heart is breaking, feel the earth is shaking, that rivers flow from the tears she cries. She cries, she cries, she raised her